Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 to the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. There's only one of me, and the world is happy about that. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. If you've got that book, read the Potterville chapter episode again, just for fun, and think about what's going on right now. Cliff Inico is our guest, our good friend, a longtime Brain Trust member, 13-year member, actually. The Crowdfunding Handbook, that was one of his new books, the eBay Business Answer book, and a number of others. Succeedinginyourbusiness.com is how you find him and his all of his brilliance. Cliff, thanks again for being here. I want to talk about some of your thoughts that you've written about recently about how to survive the coronavirus, and partially as a way to kick that off, I want to point out that the concept of force majeure, act of God, that is oftentimes in contracts. Would you agree with me when I say that attorneys have been scouring all their contracts, leases, et cetera, to see what their force majeure rope, whatever force majeure rope they had or leverage they had? That's going on. There's a lot of that going on right now, isn't there?
Oh, you're not kidding, boy. Every attorney in the United States is looking at his force majeure language right now that they use in their contracts. It's one of those things. This is when you find out if it's any good. You know, and usually when you're negotiating a contract, you don't even think about the force majeure clause. You just kind of throw it in there. You plug in standard language. But I think a lot of attorneys are going to be looking at that with a microscope these days. Believe it or not, in many types of contracts, force majeure clauses are not standard. So, for example, in most commercial leases, there usually is not a force majeure clause that benefits the tenant. And that's just tradition. Landlords do not like the idea that if they're a little slow providing services, the tenant legally can withhold rent. Mm-hmm. So if you ask for a force majeure clause in a lease, the landlord will complain like hell.
Unless he puts it in with the unilateral enforcement, not mutual enforcement.
Benefit, right, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if there's a power outage and the air conditioning breaks down or something like that, the tenant can't withhold rent for that. Mm-hmm. That's very commonplace in leases. I think you're going to see a lot more tenants' attorneys now getting more aggressive about that, saying, mm-hmm. We've now had this experience. We need a force majeure clause, too. You're going to see a lot of that. It's going to change. This is going to change a lot of the ways that people do business, and attorneys are no different than that. We're going to have to change the way we do business, too, now that we've had this experience.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of your thoughts on how we can survive? And what I'm saying, Cliff, is surviving is winning, and so our singular goal from this moment forward in our businesses is to open our doors January 1, 2021. What do you think? How do we get there?
I think that's good. Well, what I'm telling people right now, do everything you can to stay alive until July 4th. That's what I'm telling people right now. By then, we should have been through the first of the shutdowns. At that point, we should be seeing some loosening. Some businesses will be back to normal. Some will not be. Anything like concert promotions and stuff like that, sports events. I think those are going to take a lot longer to recover. The cruise ship industry,
conventions.
Kind of yeah, but most
sitting in the middle seat in the back of the bus. That's going to be.
Yeah, kind of. There are going to be a lot of long-term changes in the way we do things. Just look at virtual learning and virtual meetings and stuff like that. A lot of people are working from home for the first time, and darn it, they like it. They're enjoying doing this. They have work-life balance for the first time in their careers, some people. I talk to a lot of lawyer friends of mine. They're sick and tired of working in an office 90 hours a week. They're sick and tired of this. Now they're actually seeing their families for the first time, and they're liking this. You're not. It's like that old, the old World War I song. How are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen?
I sang that song last hour, Cliff. I did it. I promise you, I did that twice last hour. I agree with you 100%. I asked somebody that yesterday. I asked a C-suite executive yesterday on a Zoom call. We were talking about all of his employees. They've gone to the corners of their region, their marketplace, right? And home. And I said, "How are you going to get them back on the farm after they've seen Paris?" He said, "I don't think I am."
Yes, that's not going to happen. It absolutely isn't true. I mean, you know, the whole world is now working the way that I have for the past 24 years, and I like it. I've never had a problem working from home. But seriously, though, it's going to change a lot of things and a lot of the ways we look at things. But in terms of survival, I mean, look, the key is stay alive until July 4th. Do everything you can short of committing a felony.
Uh-huh.
And that's a weird thing for an attorney to say. But you can't. How can I say it? I mean, you have to comply with the law, of course, but do you have to comply with every comma and semicolon and every regulation that applies to your business in a situation
right.
like this? I think the answer is no.
This comes back to what I said earlier. There's no shame in surviving. Surviving is not elegant. It's not pretty. You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do, and when the time comes, you'll pay a couple of $100 in fines. You'll take the slap on the wrist, and you'll keep moving.
That'd be a badge of honor for me.
well, we'll talk about that a little bit more later. We'll talk about you a little bit more later, Rob. But let's say, for example, you're a bar owner, and let's say that you have, you know, a half-filled bottle of Pappy Van Winkle bourbon or something like that. Go on your social media and say, "Hey, we're putting this sucker up for sale." You know, it's only half full, you know, show a picture of it so there's no fraud being committed, you know, but you'll get people bidding on that. You'll get some people. Now technically under your license you cannot engage in the wholesale of liquor. You can't do that. That's technically a violation.
But like you say, let them enforce it. I think they got other things to worry about. Hold on to that thought. We usually don't encourage misdemeanors on this show, folks. It's usually only the serious crimes. Tim Till, right back with Cliff Inico. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.